to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. Pick up your text as the show proceeds, but keep them coming. A lot to talk about. Still to come on the program, Alabama Today's April Murray Fogle. That's about an hour from now. 11 o'clock hour. Matt Murphy, my former Cumulus colleague, but in the Birmingham area, now a columnist for 1819 News as well, will be with us at 11 o'clock hour. We'll wrap it all up with the returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Joining us now, however, a former lawmaker, and I'm curious to get his thoughts on how this is all proceeding. We're kind of in a unique situation. I don't think we've been in the state. Special session and redistricting. I mean, I guess it's gone into overtime in the past. But former State Senator Kurt Pittman with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Happy Friday to you and your listeners.
Hey, thank you for making time for us. We do appreciate it. Let's kick it off here. It's the vaccine mandate pushback season. I think a bunch of different lawmakers got legislation, at least in the Senate side. It appears to me that the House is, or Mike McCutcheon's kind of poured cold water on a lot of this in the Senate. But is it even appropriate at this point in time that the special session's underway for reapportionment to be talking about some kind of legal mechanism or some kind of state action or reaction to the Biden mandate?
Well, it's always appropriate to talk, Jeff. If it wasn't, you wouldn't have a show. But, I think it's always important to have policy discussions. I do think, sometimes it's posturing when legislators, file bills. They want to make a statement, even though the reality of getting it passed, if it's not in the call, is hard. And then the reality of the governor's a strong governor, and she controls a lot of money now with the increased gas tax to be able to help projects happen or not happen in these, these officials' districts. So a lot of it's posturing. And then, of course, in a legislative body, representative government we have, some people like Animal Farm, all animals aren't created equal. And some are more equal than others. And in the legislative process, leadership that controls the money that flows through to the different candidates and also, controls the flow of legislation through the rules chairman and the speaker and the pro tem, they're not going to let those things happen. They may let some things get to committee and get out of committee. And, there's a reason there's only a 30-day session so that a lot of bad stuff or stuff that people don't want to happen dies. The mandate, I read the governor's mandate, her position, and it was strategic, obviously, to thwart some of the ads you've been hearing on the radio from the Common Sense campaign, and I think the governor really has some concerns about the federal overreach, but of course she was careful to allow those that did want to continue to require mandate vaccines, and certainly Alabama and Auburn, a lot of people may not realize that they're constitutional entities, and so really they're kind of above they're above the purvey of the governor and the legislature. The only way you can affect them, other than, of course, they love to get the money they want. They get the money. They want that. But as far as any policy or any rules, there'd have to be a constitutional amendment to change those. So it's time for us to move on. The pandemic is now an endemic. To the extent it's out there, it's going to be there. People need to be smart and, continue to be wash your hands and use social distancing. But, I'm a firm believer, because I don't have the vaccine, is that those that have had the vaccine, that have had COVID, have antibodies. I got tested. I had it in August of 2020. It's now 2021. Last month, I had an antibody test, and I still have a high level of antibodies. It's absurd to think that people that actually have the virus do not have natural immunity. And I think it's better than the vaccine. So I think that's the step. Is anybody going to give credit to people? Why can't you go get an antibody test and show it? In lieu of a vaccine, and thank goodness for Arthur Warren, the legislature did pass the anti-vaccine mandate. But we need to move on and say, hey, if you've had COVID, if you hadn't, it's a different issue. But now, giving it to children who are, what are the consequences with this immune therapy? It's time to move on. Look at the football games and all this going on. Look at the cases dropping. There may be another variant, but nature's a badass, and there's surely there's going to be other challenges to overcome. But I think in history this has been one of the most overblown, expensive, you know, bunch of stuff to just to exert more government control and fear mongering. And those that will sacrifice, you know, a little freedom for a little security will soon have neither.
Well, I mean, it just seems like a runaway train to me at this point. Because, you know, if we look at history, whenever government increases its scope and size, at least in American history, there's very little rollback, if any, over time.
Listen, some of these articles, this one guy, Goodman or something, was writing about hearts and not wanting to tell his status. Well, first of all, it's a private thing. HIPAA, he doesn't need to tell anybody anything. But if Hartson's had the virus, you know, and he feel has antibodies, I don't know. I imagine he's probably had the vaccine, but he doesn't have to tell people. And then to start criticizing people for personal choices, I mean, to me, it sounds like the brown shirts, you know, that rose up under the Nazis. I mean, the fear mongering and the threats that are going out. And I love people to continue to talk about what the pandemic did. It wasn't the pandemic that did it. It was the government reaction to the pandemic. You know, the government's the one that put out, you know, shut things down. And fortunately in Alabama, you know, we have gotten back to a fair level of normalcy. But the consequences of the government actions to shut down business and then also to pay people not to do anything has put us in a bad place. And, we may never overcome it.
Well, and I mean, like, you know, Republicans get power back someday. They're not going to roll this. They may run on it. They may campaign on it. But when they start to try to roll back government, they get beat up, and then they just get weak-kneed, and they don't do anything.
I mean, when you had Gingrich come in and you had the contract, there were some real things that were done. Okay, when the legislature flipped. You know, the Alabama legislature was under the Republicans, did some real things, some really good things, budget-wise and policy-wise, that the states benefited from. And the government actually, you know, under Clinton, I mean, there was actually some, reform for some of the, you know, welfare and social programs that did some good things. But the Republicans, you know, George Wallace said they're just two sides of the same coin, Democrats and Republicans. And, of course, it's a really thick coin now, but the fact is, if you remember, and you're a student of history, is that the Republicans will have 300 bills when they control the House that they're trying to pass that the Senate won't take up. But yet, when they control both houses, how many of those bills actually ever get out of committee and actually ever get voted on? I mean, you know, there's a lot of posturing, a lot of bull in the political process. You know, a lot of fake right and run left, and that's the fact. Those are the facts. Well, and, special sessions, you know, are limited. And the reason you don't want a legislator to call a special session, which is real, what's going to come up? I mean, you know, the people and we are where we are. And to keep limited government, which Alabama still has to a large degree, you want to keep low property taxes. You want to try to minimize regulations. And those are good things. But at the same time, you know, we've got a lot of corporate welfare. We've got a lot of people that get treated a lot more fairly than other people.
Well, here's the problem, and I think this is on both sides of the political spectrum, that politicians, they say something and then they do another. That's what leads us to a Donald Trump. That's what leads us to Bernie Sanders or AOC. That this populism sort of becomes the antidote, and, you know, that may or may not end well, but a lot of times it doesn't. That people take for granted their ability just to go say stuff on the campaign trail and then be like, oh, when they get into office, oh, we didn't really mean that. We were just saying what we had to say to get elected.
Right. And at least you want to try. So the people that do file bills, you know, at least they're trying. You know, and it depends on how hard they try. But, you know, you fight a lot of battles. I fought a lot of battles when I was there. I believe in term limits. And so I termed myself out. I think term limits at some level, 3 or 4 terms, is an important policy issue that needs to be implemented in order to, you know, the people that stay in government aren't necessarily the ones you want in government. And, you know, they get really comfortable with their new friends who are the advocates and the lobbyists and the political class. And also raising money. The money you raise for your campaign ought to come out of your district, whether it's your House district, Senate district, congressional district. you know, statewide for Senate, governor, or whatever, and trying to eliminate all these other moneyed interests. And what they're buying, Jeff, is not necessarily what you will do for them. They've already got what they want in most cases. That would never surprise me at how people would come back to the table for more, which was usually when I would challenge them. But what they really want is just to maintain their favored status, their fair advantages, as the former governor of Mississippi said. And so what they want you to do is just sit on your hands and not go out and do anything. And, you know, and killing bills is a lot easier than passing them. But, you know, a lot of people just want to maintain the status quo, and Alabama's created so many favorable advantages for so many different groups and requirements. You know, I heard today they want to pay the separated families, what, you know, $400,000 per person. I mean, the insanity of this government, where we are, is total chaos in terms of our, you know, it's nothing wrong with conservation, protecting the planet, turning out the lights, you know, trying to be, you know, throwing stuff away, trying to be better. But, you know, we're elevating nature above man, and we're also, which it is man, we all live together. But the things we're doing, the trial, the tort, the lawsuits, it's the world upside down. It is absolutely insanity. And I'm glad I'm not in politics, and really hope I never am in it again. I'm blessed to have a great business that's doing really well, and I'm focusing on that. But I do still care, and so I'm not afraid to call balls and strikes.
Well, tell me this, and you mentioned the moneyed interest in politics. State here, BCA, their role, they were always, in my mind, kind of a good, at least for a while, kind of a good counterbalance to the AEA and some of these other groups that ran Montgomery for a while. But now they're kind of in this trajectory now where they seem to be very AEA-ish, like they're becoming a convenient foil for a lot of conservatives that, just, you know, the big business, corporate boardroom culture dominating politics. And they, I think, are at least in danger of becoming that new villain.
Well, listen, I mean, they represent the people that are their members. You know, ironically, I actually am a member of BCA through an insurance policy that I buy, and I go to their conference down at the Grand Hotel just to make people wonder what the hell I'm doing there. But, you know, they are, you know, they're about creating, they are grateful against AEA. When AEA was the enemy, Paul Hubbard was the enemy, everybody could consolidate against the enemy. But now that battle was fought, you know, it's had been hard to keep the people together toward what exactly we stand for. And BCA, you know, they're for their businesses, for the people they represent, and they and that's, you know, so they're special interest, but they are for corporate. What amazes me is just the amount of corporate welfare. You know, even the Kochs agreed with Bernie Sanders that we need to try to roll back corporate welfare. And you know, when you expect accountability from individuals to be responsible, which is, you know, liberty requires responsibility, it's real hard to expect people to be responsible when you dole out all these benefits to various, you know, corporations and other entities through you know, getting them other people's money through the political process. You know, politics is the process of dividing up other people's money. And, you know, a lot of times people want to do something if they're doing it with other people's money when they could very well try to do it with their own money. But, you know, BCA, you know, Katie Britt was the head of BCA, you know, and her former boss. I mean, there's a lot of political power. I call them the oligarchs. We're quick to say, oh, the Russians are a bunch of oligarchs. Well, let me tell you what. They have oligarchs, but ain't nothing like the oligarchs we have in America and in Alabama.
I get these entities. They represent their interest, does it not seem to you, though, that they need to pump the brakes every now and then, just for their own good, their own benefit, right?
Of course, Jeff, I mentioned the last time I was on your show about one for all and all for one. I mean, they go beyond. They go beyond. You know, yes, it's good for me. It's good for you. It's a win-win. Okay, they go beyond that. You know, they go to, you know, let's dredge the channel in Mobile Bay. You know, and that was a choice over the Bayway potentially at the federal level.
Yes,
and then let's go put so we can get bigger ships up with containers bringing in Japanese goods, and let's put in bigger cranes that we're paying for through the tax to the state docks. So we can offload them, and let's go subsidize a Walmart distribution center so that we can help the Chinese bring more Chinese goods over here. Listen, I'm for free trade. You know, I'm for, I think that's the best way to avoid wars. a lot of the wars have happened, you know, internally and externally because of tariffs and things. But, you know, we're subsidizing, and I think in historic, right now in hindsight, it's a destruction of our middle class through doing away with domestic manufacturing has undermined the ability for people to make a wage that they, that one worker or even two can make a middle class wage and take care of their families as it was represented historically because of inflation and what it takes. You know, $10,000 in 1960, you're a rich person. You'd have to make over $100,000 a year to be the same, you know, close to the same amount. So we have, through policies and now through inflation and artificially low interest rates, because we're the world reserve currency and the petrodollars and all that, it is just amazing to me how we get manipulated and how the average working, you know, Joe and Jane that pull up their pants and skirt every morning, go to work, that do the right thing, take care of their families, which is the fundamental, unit of any civilization and culture. You know, they're getting worn out. The ladder is getting raised. And we keep handing out things to people. So, yeah, these groups, they do not, you know, as I told you about Alpha, we talked about them. You know, they don't care about necessarily, is it a good policy for the state? You know, if a bad bill comes through, they just want to make sure and exempt themselves from that bill. It just doesn't apply to farmers, which I appreciate them wanting to protect themselves from bad legislation. But if it's bad, it's bad for probably most, if not everybody. BCA, they're not looking for what's good about, for the mostest. They're looking for about what is good for specific businesses or specific entities with all of these, subsidies and tax credits. I mean, you know, before long, we'll be asking to raise taxes. There are billions of dollars of tax credits that are given away to companies. And, you know, and you could make an argument initially for a short period of time. Any tax credits need to be limited, and they need to be sunsetted. You know, even babies have to be weaned sooner or later, Jeff.
Hey, Senator, we're up against a break here, but you've been very kind to make time for us this morning.
Well, I hope I gave you a few quotes, my friend. Thanks for all you do. Hope you have a great Friday, and everybody have a great weekend.
You're very kind. Thanks for coming on. Trip Pittman, ladies and gentlemen, former state senator over in Baldwin County. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.